walk, in the way that we talk, in the way that we move, for your glory and for your honor, Lord Jesus, we pray. Amen. 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 Kids, you're free. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Gray family, the Gray family singers. Amen. Amen. Well, I'm going to do this at the beginning so it doesn't take away from what has to happen at the end, okay? Is that okay? As you may or may not know, this is our last Sunday with you. This is my last Sunday with you, and Donna is in Canada. Her father is dying, and we had to organize a ticket relatively quickly to get her home, and so she is home. He is very, very ill, and so she obviously would have loved to be here today, but she cannot. One of the things I love about ministry is people, but one of the things that makes ministry hard is people. And I don't mean that in a bad way. I mean, I have the great privilege of getting into the lives of people, but that means you get to know them. And that means leaving them is hard. And along our journey, we have had to do this a few times. And I've never found it to be easy because you care. You get to meet people, you get to hear people's stories, and more than that, I get to see the greatness that God sees in them. And I count that a very, very great privilege to be able to do that. And so it has been a real privilege for me and for Donna and the girls to be here with all of you and to get to know you and to get into your world. My great prayer is that we've added value. That's my prayer. I don't think there's anything more that God ever asks of us than to add value into people's world, to give love, to champion greatness in them so that they can go on and do wonderful things. And so it's never easy for us to leave, but I do thank you for the privilege of knowing you, and obviously I've gotten to know some of you a little bit better than others, but it has been a great honor for me. So thank you. Thank you. Very, very much. No. Yeah. Thank you. But that's not why we're here. If you have your Bibles, I'd like you to turn to the book of Matthew. And I had this message in my heart to speak today. This is one of the great stories of faith in all of the Gospels. And I want to speak out of it because God's put in my heart to speak to faith this morning. I think it fits, seeing as the church is called Faith Works. And it does work. It does work. In Matthew chapter 8, there's an amazing story about a centurion, a Roman. And I want to talk through that a little bit. And what that means. But in Hebrews chapter 11 verse 1 it says faith is what? Does anybody know? The substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. And I think that's such a fascinating sentence because oftentimes when we think faith, we do not think substance. In fact, we think the opposite, right? Substance is my youngest daughter, she has to touch everything. I don't know what it is. She's like this tactile. She has to, like, even gross things. I don't know what it is, but she has this fascination of just the texture of things. When we think faith, we often do not think substance. We think pipe dream. Yes, if we're being honest, we think long shot. We think, tell him he's dreaming. That's sort of what goes on in our head when we think faith, but the writer of Hebrews says faith is the substance of things hoped for. And what I believe we see in the life of the centurion in this brief little story is substance unlike Jesus had ever encountered in all of Israel. There was something about the way this man approached Jesus and how he understood things that had substance to it, so much substance, in fact, that Jesus remarks on his faith. Greater faith I have not seen in all of you people who should know better. Really, that's what he's saying. Greater substance I have not seen. And it took a Roman. So, let's unpack this story a little bit. If you have your Bibles, I just want to read through. It's not a long story, but I think it's worth reading through and highlighting. When Jesus is coming into Capernaum, a Roman officer came and pleaded with him, "Lord, my young servant lies in bed, paralyzed and in terrible pain." And Jesus says to him, "I'll come." All right, this is an extraordinary thing in and of itself that Jesus, who's ministering to a bunch of Jewish people, a Roman comes up to him, says, "I need help," and Jesus offers to come. But the officer said, "Lord, I am not worthy to have you come into my home. Just say the word from where you are, and my servant will be healed." He just makes a statement. And here's why. "I know this because I am under the authority of my superior officers. And I have authority over my soldiers. I only need to say go and they go. Or I say come and they will come. And if I say to my slaves do this, they do it." And so I'm just going to stop there for a second. Let me frame this out for you. Romans don't ask Jews for anything. The Romans are in charge. The Jews are under. So, that's important because a Roman officer, a Roman of note and position in this community is coming to a Jew for help. What happens in our world when something is happening that we can't fix? What do we do? What would we be willing to do? Anything. All right, so what we see in the life of this Roman centurion, we don't know why he thinks so highly of his servant. Servants, I imagine, in that time would come and go. You know, it's not something or someone that you would get attached to, but for some reason, this Roman centurion, who is a commander over many, has such strong feelings towards this servant that he can do nothing to help. Nothing. And so, he pushes past all of his understanding as a Roman. All of his pride as a centurion. All of his religious background, which would have been of Jupiter and Mars and this pantheon of gods. He pushes past all of that and walks up to Jesus. And asks him to do something he couldn't do. Now, I don't know what it would have taken for him to do that, but in the centurion's mind, this was the best option. To do this, to ask, to lower himself. And it's incredible, you see, in the way that he talks, the value he places on Jesus, because A, he calls him Lord, capital L, not great teacher, not good guy, but Lord. He calls him Lord. Right? So he recognizes Jesus for who he is, but then he says, you can't come to my house. I am not good enough for you to come to my house. Even though he offered. Do you understand what's going on in the head of this Roman centurion who is over all the people he's in the midst of? Could do whatever he wanted to those people he was in the midst of. And yet, he recognizes the authority of Jesus Christ. So much so that he says, you don't even have to come to my house. Because I get who you are. Here's the first hurdle of faith, is to actually believe that Jesus Christ is who he says he is. Do you want me to? That's going to be really annoying.
Our first hurdle is, do you actually believe it? You know, we sang a song this morning beautifully. How great is our God? Well, how great is our God? Well, you know, that ultimately is a faith statement, yes? You believe, okay, we sing this song and it sounds beautiful, all that sort of stuff, but do you believe what you say you sing? Is he great enough in your mind to ask of him what he says I can ask of him? Or do I think long shot? Pipe dream? Or do I confidently approach knowing exactly who he is? You see, our confidence in Jesus Christ is well placed. Why? Because A, I have the whole of Scripture to back it up. Even if he's never done anything in your life, read the Bible. And what you will find is proof to who Jesus is. That he does and has done and always will do exactly what he says he will do. And we see proof of it in this story, because after Jesus comments on the great faith of this centurion, he says, go home. It's done. Because he's Jesus. And we first have to believe that our faith is well placed, or else you'll never approach him. That's like me saying, yeah, I believe pilots can fly planes, but I'm not getting on one. Now, every time you get on a plane, you do a far-fetched thing. I don't know if you know that. Just because it happens often does not make it less far-fetched. You're in a tube in the sky hurtling over the world. And yet, for whatever reason, you don't even know the pilot. You get on the plane. Where is that faith coming from? Well, statistics, actually. And my real lack of desire to drive for long periods of time. You see, we can't just say, I believe. Do you believe enough in who he is to have a confident expectation that Jesus will always deliver on what Jesus says he can and will deliver on? do you believe your faith is well placed? And this is what we see in the life of the centurion. He had absolute belief and conviction that Jesus was exactly who he says he is. That's it. That was it. And so I can ask. If he is, I can ask. Because he is. And that's what how we see this played out. It's not a centurion saying, if you are the Son of God, then, or if you are Lord, then, he says, Lord, you just say it from right here, and it will be done. That's confidence, no? He understood that his faith is well placed. But here's what happens next. Not only do we have to believe that, our faith then will be tested. And where his faith was tested was in the asking, in the coming. It wasn't enough. The story doesn't go, and Jesus heard a Roman centurion praying from 40 yards away. Oh, I hope he can do this. And if you can, God, please do. This guy walks through a crowd of Jews. Unwelcomed, I am sure. And over top of everybody else, asks the question. Do you understand how much faith it took for him to do that bit? You see, where our faith is then tested is in the doing. It's not in the believing. It's not enough for us to believe. We must approach. We must act. We must do. If you believe it, then approach. Or else you don't really believe. Crazy, right? I know, this is crazy stuff. But it's the same for all of us, so don't think you have it worse than I do. Faith is a jump for all of us. But this is what we all are asked to do when it comes to God and Jesus, is to in faith step. Go. Ask. Do. There comes a point in time, like it came for this centurion, where my belief has to transform into action. Because faith without works is, as James said, dead. It doesn't mean anything. In fact, more people have done damage to the name of God by claiming something they don't believe. They claim they believe, they claim they love, they claim things. But when it comes to action, it's not there. What we need in the world today are not more claimers, but doers. And in the doing, the convictions that we have are seen. And Jesus makes a point of making sure everybody sees the faith of this man. Hold on. I'm going to make this a preaching point. Hold on. I'm going to stop everything. Stop the crowd. Stop the questions. Stop everything. Hold on, everybody. I want you all to know the great faith that this man is displaying for us today. I have not seen. And it's got substance because he's standing right here in front of me asking the question. That's the substance of faith. That's the evidence. The evidence of faith is the doing. I can't see it. I know in somewhere in the back of my head this is a long shot. But in faith I believe in who he is. I believe he is who he says he is. I'm going to ask the question. Because it's not a long shot for him. If Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, then just speak the word from here, brother. Because distance isn't a problem. Time isn't a problem. Sickness, not a problem. None of these things that I'm challenged with and that I struggle with are a problem for you. So you just go ahead and say it right here and it'll be done. I get how authority works. And if you're the authority, then just say it and it'll be done. It's hard for us to do this bit. Because the first thing that comes into our mind is doubt. Let's be very honest, yes? Can we be very honest? I think there's something in us that wants to ask the question. But what if? The reality behind our doubt is not what if it doesn't work. The truth is, what if he isn't? Do you understand the difference? Our doubt is born out of something bouncing around in our head that says, what if he's not? What if he can't? And what if he won't? Right? That's what that's born out. What if I pray the prayer? What if I say the thing? And then what? He's not Jesus. He's not able. He can't or won't. Now, what do we have to do with our doubt? Can anybody tell me, because no one told me for a long time, what I'm supposed to do with my doubt? Well, actually, they did tell me. They told me I wasn't supposed to have any. Now, I don't know about you, but that's not helpful. Is it? That's not helpful because what happens? Doubt happens. And now I feel guilty because they said I wasn't supposed to have any. What do I do with doubt? What do we do with doubt, everybody? Exactly. My faith, when I am in this moment of crisis, and this is a moment of crisis because you're a question away from your thing. This centurion was a question away from his servant being healed. One question, one moment. What do we do in that moment when our faith is being challenged by our doubt? We must respond with truth because our doubt is based in a lie that he's not when he is. Yes? Our doubt is based in what if he doesn't? What if he can't? What if this is a long shot? What if this is a pipe dream? What am I thinking? All of that is based out of a lie that he's not good. Isn't he good? Well, the Bible says he's good. Is that good enough? The stories of the Bible over and over and over again prove that he's good. Is that good enough? What about what he's done in your own life? The times that he has proven himself to be faithful. Don't you think there is a substantial enough basis of proof of the goodness of God to do something with your doubt? This is what we have to learn in our heads how to do. It's how to access truth when the lie comes. And it will come. It'll come. It comes for me. It'll come for you. It comes for all of us, that doubt. And so what we need to do, like the centurion, is just simply believe and commit ourselves to do it and then speak it as though it were. Just do it. Just say it. I love that he says that. Just say it from where you are right now. And he exercised his faith in that moment. He did it. And we're talking about him today because he did it. we're still talking about this guy. Because he did not only in the mental thing, not just because he approached, because he said it. And he said it with such conviction. Not because he was enamored by Jesus, not because he was, you know, having this emotional moment with Jesus and was inspired by all the miracles that he was doing that day. He did it because he understood authority. This was his inspiration. I get authority. If you are who you say you are, then just say the word. Because the creator of heaven and earth can speak the word here, and my servant will receive healing there. It's good, right? That's how we exercise our faith. And our journey, our walk with Jesus Christ, really, essentially, every day is filled with moments where we must not only have faith, but then engage our faith and exercise our faith. In conversations, in choices that we make, all of that sort of stuff, where we learn to be people of faith, to not simply be people that claim stuff to be true, but to step out into it and let God be God. Let God do what only God can do. And that's the great stuff. And then to God be the glory. Great things he has done. Right? That's how this works. Because what you will find is every time you step out in faith, it's not because you're going to get all the answers. It's not because you're going to know how everything's going to play out. It's just that you will have the deep conviction and knowledge knowing that I've stepped in faith. I'm doing it. And I'm trusting him for the result. Because even if it doesn't come today, guess what? It's going to come tomorrow. And if it doesn't come tomorrow, guess what? Because I know who he is. Because I know who holds tomorrow. I know who's already written that page. Yes? He knew your last day before your first day. That's the conviction we must make our choices with and speak it out. And when we must approach him, and things will come into your life that you have no handle on at all, do not despair, because the anchor holds. Because while the torment and the storms may be billowing, he's not. He's steadfast. He holds. And he will get you through. He didn't bring you this far to mess you over now. In fact, he brought you this far because there are greater days coming where you will have a story and a testimony that will inspire other people whose lives are being blown around in the sea of life. But because you have the story of faith, you'll speak into their world and you'll say, if I can do it, you can do it, because the anchor holds. Instead of just having stories where, yeah, I have all the CDs and albums and I sing a lot, but man, my life is awful. I don't know about you, that's not a very inspiring story to me. I don't know, that's not real encouraging. But I know in whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him. That's how we need to walk. That's what that needs to look like, because he is great. He is great. And one of the great temptations is to allow bad things that have happened to define God for you. This is one of the temptations. This is one of the ways that the enemy gets into our head, is he allows the bad things that have happened in our world to help define God for you, that he's not good. That your reference point doesn't come out of the Word of God. Instead, it comes out of your experiences. No, no, no. The Bible is where we come to know him. The Bible, the Word, the thing that was here before and will be here long after, is the place where we go to find him. Where we find that truth that will speak and minister into the doubt that we're experiencing right now for that thing in our life that we can't get out of our heads or that seems to be surrounding us. That we would rebuke what the enemy's trying to do in our heads and say no more. I'm going to instead take the witness of Scripture, and I'm going to believe that instead. And if he came through for Abraham, and if he came through for Moses and Joshua and Caleb and Gideon and Joseph and David, and I could go on and on and on and on, but the last time I checked, he hasn't changed. And if he was faithful to them, he'll be faithful to you. He's got great stories that he wants to write in your life if we will, in faith, faithfully, courageously step and exercise our convictions. And when the moments come to ask the things that only he can do, then with boldness approach the throne. Because he's on it. Yeah? Because he's on it, because he's awesome, because he's good. And here's my challenge for you today. Here's the good news. Don't be thinking about what you haven't asked for yet, or what you doubted too much to ask for before. That's not what this is about. Guilt does not come from God. Amen? Amen. So let's not sit in what we haven't done. Let's make a choice today for how we're going to live as of right now. That we are going to be people of remarkable faith. That other people will stand up, not for our glory, not so that we get remembered, but so that people can experience the same God that we've experienced and know him as we do. So that they can have a story of redemption and freedom and faithfulness. Because that's what God wants for them. He loves them as much as he loves you, does he not? But we become their access point. Yes, our stories, our willingness to interact with them become their access point to the truth. And the truth is, I'm not where I am because I didn't have problems. The truth is, I am where I am because he is who he is. And it's true. That's got to be our story, no? I am constantly confronted by the brokenness of people. One of the real struggles of what my wife's family is going through right now is the brokenness of her father. And what I know and what you know is that brokenness begets brokenness. And hopelessness and despair. And this is where we have the great privilege and responsibility of being people of faith. To say, I know how things look. I get it. I know how dark things seem, but I also know him. And even darkness is as light to you. We never have to despair because he is greater. He really is. And I believe that this morning God is speaking hope into some of your minds. He is speaking hope into some of your circumstances because somewhere along the way we doubted and we gave up and we started to ridiculously believe in long shots, and we don't even believe in those anymore. But that today, as you're reminded about this passage in Matthew chapter 8, that God's greater, that Jesus can do infinitely more than what we ask for. Because the Bible says so. That your faith would be stirred to not make big claims, but to take big steps with a certain conviction that Jesus is exactly who he says he is. And he can be trusted. He can be relied on. He will never fail. He will never falter. And even though I can't see it, my faith will have evidence in the way that I'm walking. While I was preparing, and even this morning as God was speaking to me, he brought Revelation chapter 1 to my heart. Because it speaks to who Jesus is. And I just want to read it out to remind you of this man, this Savior, this King. Grace and peace to you from the one who is, who always was, and who is still to come. From the sevenfold Spirit before the throne, and from Jesus Christ. He is faithful and is the faithful witness to these things, the first to rise from the dead and the ruler of all the kings of this world. All glory be to him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by shedding his own blood. He has made us a kingdom of priests for God his Father. All glory and power to him forever and ever. Amen. Look, he comes with the clouds of heaven. And everyone will see him. Everyone. Even those who pierced him. And all the nations of the world will mourn for him. Yes, amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, says the Lord God. I am the one who is, who always was, and who is still to come. That's in whom we believe. And my prayer and God's heart for you this morning is that you would once more turn your eyes to him. And in faith, ask. And here's what I'd like to do. I would like for you to think of that thing you've been afraid to ask. The thing that has been in your mind as a pipe dream. The thing that, yeah, it would be great if God could do that, I guess. But I want you to ask this morning. Because he asks us to ask. And so just as we're in this space, I want you to think of that circumstance. I want you to think of that relationship. I want you to think of that thing that you in your wisdom have been unable to address, but God in his infinite power can do more than what you hope or would even ask for today. But he needs us to ask. He wants you to ask in faith, believing that he is faithful to complete everything he starts. Let's stand together. Hallelujah. God, here's the good news. You know what's in everybody's mind right now. Every one of us. Not a surprise. You are not sitting on your throne surprised. But here's where we want to enact our faith this morning. To not just believe that you're great. To ask believing you're great. To ask knowing you're great. You are all those things. You are the one who was and is to come. You are the beginning and the end, the Alpha and the Omega. You are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and the bright and morning star. There is nothing that is not beneath you. You are Lord over all things. You have the highest authority, the name above every other name. And we can this morning in confidence, like the Roman centurion, approach you and say, Jesus, I need this to be done. Just speak the word and it will be done. God, we're believing this morning right now that relationships, as words are being uttered in this place, are already being mended, because that is who you are. That healing is already happening. God, that circumstances are changing right now, that phone calls are going to come that are going to testify to the fact that in this moment we spoke out in faith, confident in our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ. God, I pray a very special prayer for this church. God, that this would be a church known for its faith in this city, not because of what we're called, but because of how we engage our faith. God, I pray that every person that attends this church, Lord God, will be somebody who walks by faith and not by sight. That we are not people who believe in long shots, but we are people who believe in an almighty God who is above all things and can do all things. And even when things are tough, to believe that he's still good and will work this out for his good, because that's the God that we serve. You are great and greatly to be praised. God, may you be over everyone. May you be over Pastor Ken and Lexi. God, I thank you for their hearts. I thank you for the love that you have put inside of them, that genuine love and generosity that they have. I love the great passion and love they have for the cross. God, I pray over them. Protect them, Lord God. Keep them. Sustain them. Provide, Lord God, as you always have. Protect them, Lord God. I pray for the leaders, the elders, the board. I pray for everybody, Lord God. This is your church. This is your church. May you be glorified through it, Lord Jesus. God, I thank you for stories like this centurion, just a regular guy who had great conviction. May we all be inspired today to be like him, that the world around us might know your name. For your glory and for your honor, we pray. Amen. 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 Pastor Ken.
you, Jesus. Wow, that's a challenge to us all, is it or what, eh? Amen. Such an incredible challenge to lift our faith to a level where we know there's a solidarity to it. There's a substance to it, amen? I remember a preacher once, he used a word that wasn't even in the English language, but he said, faith is the substance of things hoped for. So you see it in your mind, and what your mind has seen as your heart responds to, but it concretionizes what you're hoping for. In other words, you know how concrete goes from sand and powder and rocks to a solid substance? Then get the sand and powder and rocks of the situation into solidarity. Make it real, amen? I know that's not a good English word, but it sounded all right to me at the time. Bless God. Can you be seated just for one moment? Kerry, where are you?